Racing's number two Xfinity team to Dillon's number three Cup car, replacing Slugger Labby, who's leaving the organization. Dillon now is turning his attention toward Sunday's Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte.
It's a long day, and you really got to stay up to date with your car, be ahead of the adjustments, and 600 miles, anything can happen, so you always are in the race. That's a good part of it. Stage racing should be fun and interesting there also.
A.J. Allmendinger's former crew chief, Randall Burnett, replaces Alexander on the Xfinity side at RCR. Meanwhile, Red Horse Racing is reportedly closing its doors due to lack of funding in the Camping World Truck Series, where driver Timothy Peters is fifth in the standings. There's more on both stories at MRN.com. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
It's 6:07, hour number three of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on KGYM's three frequencies, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa on the historic Main Gym. Coming up for you at 7 o'clock tonight on the North Gym, that would be 107.5 FM, we'll join In Progress, the Minnesota Twins game from Camden Yards, taking on the Baltimore Orioles this evening on our other frequencies, 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. You get Golden State at San Antonio. It's game four of the NBA Western Conference Finals. Check out our entire upcoming live sports schedule online at KGYMradio.com. And while you're there, don't forget to vote in the poll question. What was the most interesting sports story from last weekend? The Celtics winning without Isaiah Thomas. 13-1 Cloud Computing's win at Pimlico. The Cubs' Raingate. Jinder Mahal winning a WWE title. Or Scott Dixon winning the pole to the Indianapolis 500 and then getting robbed at gunpoint. Several hours later, Emil's Hideaway, bringing you the poll question daily on our website. Check them out, First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. Jinder Mahal was on the poll question, just so I could hear Mark Dukes say Jinder Mahal and have somebody on the text line explain to him who Jinder Mahal was.
And who is Jinder Mahal?
Jinder Mahal is, up until at least a couple months ago, was essentially what you would call a jobber in professional wrestling parlance. A guy who's basically in the ring to lose and to make whoever he's wrestling look better. And WWE has decided...
So he was the Washington Generals of
the WWE. To a certain
extent.
Yeah, they'd let him win every once in a while. But they've decided that they're going to give him a little bit of a push. They're going to put him over in wrestling parlance. And this may or may not have to do with, as one of the texters pointed out on the gym class today, WWE trying to go a little more global. But we've got a lot of wrestling fans out there.
Yes, we do.
And I said we can't have the poll question without putting that on there. I mean, That's a guy, I'm trying to think of the equivalent here. Well, maybe it would be the Nashville Predators winning the Stanley Cup. They've got an opportunity to at least advance to the Stanley Cup Finals tonight at Bridgestone Arena. We'll talk a little hockey coming up this week, I'm sure. Let's get back to the NBA, though, because the Celtics winning without Isaiah Thomas, to me, was a huge story from the weekend. And of course, this gives everybody and their brother who hates LeBron James an opportunity to climb out of whatever rock they live under. And I know one loudmouth national host in particular who has a distinct dislike for... Actually, I think he loves LeBron James because he knows every time he talks about LeBron James, people pay attention to him and retweet his hot takes. And I'm talking about Skip Bayless, of course, who has this irrational infatuation with trying to be the only person in America pushing the anti-LeBron, he's not very good agenda. And of course, what does it bring? It brings attention and retweets, and I understand it. I know game recognize game, as the kids say. I know exactly what he's doing because to a much lesser extent, I work in the same business. But at the same time, I read some of his tweets and hear some of his thoughts on LeBron James, and I think, how can any sane person possibly think about putting that out there for people to consume? And then I remember, well, yes, that's sort of the point of the whole game.
Right.
It's not to be accurate. It's not to be factual. It's to try to get reaction from people. So I get that standpoint. LeBron James is entitled to have a bad game every now and again, whether it's during the regular season or whether it's in the postseason. He's still LeBron James.
He's 13-1 in his last 14 playoff games.
Well, let's focus on the one.
Exactly. Let's be clear about something. He was not good last night. He was not even close to himself. Had 11 points, turned the ball over several times. He seemed disengaged.
He was probably very shaken up about Scott Dixon being robbed at gunpoint.
That is a distinct possibility. He wasn't very good.
Maybe he was worried about the debut of The Bachelor tonight.
Or Dancing with the Stars?
Could be. Could very well be.
I think they just got a little bit complacent. And the Cavaliers are going to win this series. And I heard the hottest of hot takes with that loss last night. I'm not even going to say who this was, but another Fox Sports personality said that with this loss last night, they basically lost themselves the NBA Finals. Now, that is a sizzling hot take. He wasn't very good last night. The Cavaliers are going to win this series. So basically what I'm looking at is the Celtics prolonging the inevitable. Give them all the credit in the world, but 13-1 in his last 14 playoff games. He had a terrible night. We just don't expect a bad night from him because everybody knows how great LeBron James is and how great our expectation for him is, pretty much perfection. And we found out that he is in fact human.
So clue me in here, the take, if I'm comprehending this properly, the take is because the Celtics beat the Cavs in one game last night that the Cavs will lose the championship to the Warriors.
Correct, because the Warriors will take
wow.
care of business tonight.
Okay.
And then the Cavaliers will be, I guess, fatigued by that one extra game they will have had to play the Boston Celtics. That is the hot take. I just don't understand why the NBA of all places, and this is not new. This goes back to the beginning of me consuming the NBA playoffs, and probably before that, because I'm not naive enough to think that this just started when I started watching the NBA playoffs. But the hot takes, whether it's about LeBron or whether it used to be about Dwight Howard, or whether it was about the San Antonio Spurs in the early 2000s, or Kobe Bryant with the LA Lakers when they had a couple of those showdowns with the Big Three and the Boston Celtics, the hot takes from game to game are sizzling. And they basically change on a nightly basis. The amount of flip-flopping that goes on, not only from fans, but from people that are paid to talk about the NBA, it gets pretty nauseating. So I try to just watch the game and try to avoid those hot takes as much as possible.
How do you arrive at that point? How do you get from they lost a game to the Celtics to they're now going to lose the next series, the entire next series to the Cavaliers?
I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know. And it's just funny to me. Let's think back 2 years. The first time I realized that LeBron James never gets a pass was when the Golden State Warriors won that first championship. And LeBron James was without Kyrie Irving, and he was without Kevin Love for that series. And he made it a six-game series with Matthew Dellavedova as the second leading scorer with J.R. Smith playing a key role in that offense. They took it to six games against the Golden State Warriors, and people were complaining that LeBron James was not passing the ball enough. With nobody around him, He took that to a six-game series, which was unbelievable. Nobody gave him a pass for that at all. And now, when you get into a situation like this where he has Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, people are complaining that he is not assertive enough. The hot takes around that man right there, one of the greatest basketball players, probably the greatest basketball player I have ever seen. The range of people liking him, people hating him, there just doesn't seem to be anything in the middle with that guy.
Jordan on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line informs me that nobody says game recognizes game anymore. I'll try to cross that off the list. Here I am trying to pull one over on the listening audience, trying to convince them that I'm hip and I'm down with what the kids are saying these days, and I'm just Steve Buscemi in the hallway now. 319-366-1600. How do you do, my fellow listeners?
I'll start saying game recognizes game, and hopefully it'll just come back.
Shooter's going to shoot.
Shooter's going to shoot.
Game recognizes game. Poll question. Continue voting at KGYMradio.com. I think the Celtics winning without Isaiah Thomas, because all 5'9" of him out there, what he does, he's so important to them. And if you would have put that wager on the board in Las Vegas, I don't know if even the most heartless degenerate would have put their money on, oh yes, IT's off the floor, Celtics are going to win that game.
No.
That to me is a compelling story from the weekend, but apparently not more compelling than the guy who wins the poll at the Indy 500 getting robbed at gunpoint at a Taco Bell. Sometimes I don't know about the listeners to the station, but I've got a good idea after looking at the poll question today and going from the gamut from MLB and the NBA to the Preakness to WWE and the Indy 500, and the most traction with the poll question continues to be the guy getting robbed at gunpoint going to Taco Bell.
It is a weird story, I'll give you that. Especially someone winning the poll for the Indy 500 and then going to Taco Bell after to celebrate.
I have not read too many stories. Did they still get to eat?
Did they get their fourth meal, or whether it was their third or second meal of the day? I don't know.
Because there's nothing worse than going to Taco Bell and getting robbed at gunpoint, except for going to Taco Bell, getting robbed at gunpoint, and then still being hungry while you're filling out police paperwork and answering questions.
I would hope that the staff at Taco Bell would at least cook them up something while they're having to fill out that paperwork, because they just suffer a scare like that. That mixed with hunger, that can't be a good combination.
If Unash is still in the building, I would almost be tempted to ask him whether it's a combo, Taco Bell and other, don't they've got KFCs and they've got Pizza Huts and
yes,
all of that stuff. What is it, a combo, or are you just tacos?
I think
because
it's just Taco Bell.
To me, that's your deal breaker. I want to know whether he was getting the PH1 or whether he was just getting the number 8, hold the lettuce,
or he's, yeah,
hot
sauce, the personal pizza.
I would tell you the story. This happened a couple months ago. One night, my wife and I were completely desperate for food. I think we were coming home from the hospital at some point this winter when we were spending time with my son, and we went through the drive-thru at Taco Bell, and we got the 10 or 12 tacos, you know, the suitcase of tacos,
suitcase,
or whatever it is, and we're going to each eat 3 or 4 and then throw them in the refrigerator and eat. Okay, who am I kidding? She was going to eat 3 or 4, and I'm fat. I was going to eat the rest of them. And so we've got 10 tacos, and so we pull around and we pay. And I said to the guy at the window, I'm like, can we get some hot and mild sauce, like a couple packets each? And he takes my money and he comes back and he gives us the drinks. And then he hands me a small bag, and I'm thinking that the tacos are in the bag. And he goes, I put the napkins in there with the sauce. The tacos will be just a second. And why would I make this up in the first place? We open the bag, and there is easily 300 packets of sauce in the bag.
For 12 tacos?
For 12 tacos. 10 tacos, whatever it was. And so we have been using this. We probably have tacos more than any human should. It's like a once a week, it's taco night.
Is it on Tuesday?
Not necessarily. Sometimes we have Taco Tuesdays. But we've still been eating off of the sauce, and I bet we've still got 100 and some packets left. And I don't know if
that was 6 months ago?
It was quite a while ago. It was several months ago. Let's leave it at it. Sometime late winter, early spring.
And you have 100 packets of sauce
left. It was the bag weighed enough that I thought it had the tacos in it.
Well,
and we opened it, and then I said, let's look through here and make sure that this isn't some sort of handoff, that we got something that we're not supposed to get here. And sure enough, nothing in there except for packets upon packets of sauce. Maybe it's got an expiration date on it. Maybe they had to move. They had to move some product. I don't know. But if you're going through the drive-thru and you ask for some sauce, you usually expect to get a handful. Like, give me two or three. If I've got three tacos, I can get by with four. I got about 400 on that particular night.
I've got a great idea. Do you know about my propensity to hoard
hot sauce Fridays at the coach's corner?
Well, yeah, but I also
put them in the pint glasses.
Plastic silverware.
You have a very strange collection of takeout silverware and anything involving takeout that gets left on your desk after your lunch runs.
Yes, so intact, I probably have 100 pairs of silverware. Plastic silverware. So if we combine that with the hot sauce, then I think we can have our own taco whatever days here at KGYM. All for that.
I'm telling you, this guy gave me enough sauce that night at the drive-thru that I could have opened up my own franchise, and I would have been set from a sauce standpoint. 6:23, this is what we do on Monday. And if you like Monday's program, then I can't wait for you to hear what we have in store for you tomorrow. Who do we have on the program tomorrow? You told me.
We'll have Tommy Watkins.
Yeah, we're going to talk with Tommy Watkins, Colonel's manager.
And also John Walters, voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, will talk a little bit about we'll preview the Cyclone tailgate tour stop in Cedar Rapids.
5:30 tomorrow at the Marriott and the north side of town. As they've stopped there, I think, the last couple years. We'll talk with John. Big news today for Iowa State. If you didn't hear it, we'll share it with you on our next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. 6:24, step aside, quick break, back after this.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to kgymradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com
salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Hey, Dave, why is the other Dave chopping down a tree out front?
Well, Mr. Employee of the Month, you said you needed some set.
I said I needed that report ASAP, as in right away.
Oh! So what does that have to do with the tree?
Oh, boy.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Here's today's $100 a day in the month of May phrase, sponsored by Toyota of Iowa City.
Back and better than ever, Mike and Mike.
Be caller number 6 right now at 319-366-1600 and win with KGYM.
And what fortuitous timing. We'll find out who our winner is in just a little bit. Earlier today, Deadspin had an article, and the title is Report, Mics Don't Like Each Other.
That's right. There's a little beef there. Is this going to spill over onto Twitter? Because you know there's nothing I like more than a good Twitter beef.
I haven't had a chance to read the Deadspin piece yet, but speaking from firsthand experience, if you work with someone long enough, the relationship will fracture at some point. And you can keep things together and you can be professional, but you will want to put your hands around the other person's throat and strangle the life out of them more often than not.
Okay. Has happened yet. Oh, no.
Yeah, no. Not yet.
All right.
Not yet.
Keep one eye open.
These guys have worked together for, what, 14 years? How long have they...
That sounds about right.
Okay. I don't want to talk about the story on the air because I haven't read it yet, but you say this is common knowledge that those two...
No, I saw it like you did. Oh. I saw it pop up.
Because I thought they always talked about, oh, yeah, when they were starting the program in Greenberg and they read together and the chemistry was amazing. Look, if I'm Mike Golic and I've got a good thing going and I've had it for about 15 years, give or take, and ESPN decides that, look, this is like parents in a divorce here. It's like the kid deciding they want to live with mom instead of dad. So ESPN decides, okay, Greenberg is going to get his own show on TV, and it's going to be on a better network, a more watched network, and Golic, you get Trey Wingo, and we're going to put you on ESPNU, and you're going to go on at the same time as Greenberg's TV show. I think I would be a little upset, too.
Here is a snippet from the Deadspin article. It's really a poisonous atmosphere right now, said one longtime ESPN staffer.
It's always longtime staffers.
Who has worked on the show. Most of us don't see the show lasting through its contractual end, which is believed to be the end of of December. But I give these guys both immense credit because they are very good actors on set.
Wow.
They apparently barely even make eye contact when they're not on the show together.
Well, look, we've all had partners. That sounds like a good day in some of my past relationships. 628, congratulations, Matt in North Liberty, the winner of the $100 a day during the month of May from our friends at Toyota of Iowa City. We've got another crisp $100 just waiting for you tomorrow. Be listening to local programming between 3 o'clock and 7. 3 o'clock gets things kicked off with the gym class, and they have golf from the city of Cedar Rapids to give away all week long on their program. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, check them out every day. The gym class, 3 to 4 o'clock, the lead-in program. Those guys are friends.
Yes.
If that's an act, then I would fire the playwright. And that's a legitimate, those guys are good friends. They get along. But it's tough in this business because sometimes you got to work with somebody that you don't necessarily see eye to eye with, or you work, again, this to me goes back to these guys have worked together for 14 years, and any time that you're with somebody, there's marriages that don't last half as long as that. So I can certainly understand. And then here comes the decision from ESPN that Golic, here's what we think of you, and here's what we think of Greenberg. And who am I to sit in podunk radio and criticize this move here? But I'm not sold on Mike Greenberg carrying a show by himself. I think it's a ballsy decision. And I think that's why when ESPN put these two guys together, the chemistry, they do have chemistry. And you don't necessarily have to like someone to have chemistry. They work well together. They play off one another well. I mean, they get where the other person's coming from, and Golic plays that sort of meathead jock role pretty well. And then you've got Greeny, who's the Northwestern guy, and some of the give and take is natural. Some of it is a little scripted. Well, look, we can't do a show where we agree on 85-90% of the stuff. So you take this side and I'll take this side, which I hate. Okay. I'd rather do a boring show where the hosts agree on 98% of the topics than to do First Take, where I'm Skip Bayless, and as I'm walking out of the green room, they hand me a sheet, and it says, here are your opinions today.
That's what I was trying to get at.
Which I think is how that works.
Pretty much,
for
yes.
the most part.
But
here's what you're going to think today. You're going to go out, and you're going to give the most impact. And I picture this with Stephen A. Smith, too. He gets a sheet, and it says, you are going to say that people who wipe standing up are preposterous. And give me a good 12-minute take on it before commercial. And he walks out, that red light goes on in the camera, and he just puts people who stand up to wipe on blast.
Now, do you think that his takes on LeBron James were given to him at some point, and now he's just so deep into it that he can't come back on it? Yes, Skip Bayless.
I think...
And his takes on Tim Tebow and...
Here's Skip Bayless in a nutshell to me. Skip Bayless is the kid who gets picked on the playground as a little kid, and he figures out that if he makes fun of himself and beats the bully to the punch, then he's going to get the laughs, and he takes away the weapon that his tormentors have. And to me, that's Skip. Skip has figured out that if he does this, then he owns it. And for better or worse, it's his thing. Skip Bayless has found his thing, and it's LeBron James, and he's just trying for dear life to hang on to his thing.
But I feel like his thing is more than that. His thing is... I'm going to say things that are so preposterous that I don't even believe them, but try to make it convincing. I feel like that's, in a nutshell, his thing. Is it not? Because there's no way he can believe some of the things that he says. And it's well documented, too. If you want to go on Google and look up Skip Bayless's greatest takes, there are some sizzlers.
Mike and Mike started January 3rd, 2000, according to the text line. 0261 with that information. So 16 going on 17 years. And the Greenberg Show starts January 1st is what ESPN says they're going to roll it out. I would not blame Mike Golic for being a little hot under the collar. Certainly wouldn't. But back to the point about Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless, and I can't even remember how we got off on this tangent. But I always said 6 years ago, 4 years ago, a month ago, whenever, all these iterations of these shows that I've been a part of, I've always said I don't ever want to be in a position where I have to put the microphone on and say something that I don't believe to either sell a topic or to get it over, and just not me. So if it's boring and you're talking about something and I agree with you, I'm going to agree with you. I'm not going to take the contrarian view. And I've had people, you can't possibly believe some of the things that you've said over the years. And I said, no, I believe everything that comes out of my mouth. It may not necessarily be accurate, and it may not be right, because as I've established here, I am an idiot who gets to talk into a microphone for 3 hours a day and get paid for it. But what I'm saying is what I believe, not what somebody tells me to say, because that's how the industry works. You've got to have conflict. You've got to have conflict. I'll quit before I get to that point.
Well, that brings up the next point. You talked about it when we were talking about Coward a couple of weeks ago. And you said, well, okay, well, look at his bank account and look at our bank accounts. If somebody gave you that amount of money, would you say no because everything was scripted like that?
Yeah. I've had somebody ask me this question before. Would you basically sell out your principles? Would you
That's what
a sellout is.
Exactly.
So would you sell out? What would Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man, everybody's got a price.
Todd, I'm going to pay you $5 or $6 million a year, but you have to go on and say that Johnny Manziel is going to be a bigger star in Cleveland than LeBron ever was.
That sounds like an actual Skip take.
It is. Okay. Manti Te'o is going to be the next Ray Lewis. Okay. I could go on and on. Oh. I'm trying to think of some of the other great ones. There were a few. Basically, as Daniel Tosh said, the guy who was on the wrong side of every sports argument ever, just for the sake of being on the wrong side. Oh, here was my favorite. I'd rather have Tebow in the fourth quarter over Aaron Rodgers. Actual argument. But I'm paying you $6 million a year for it.
I opened up the mailbox last week and I took out the Baseball America, which is my favorite magazine to read. It comes every other week. And there on the cover Baseball America is Tim Tebow.
Baseball America sold out?
They did an entire two-page spread, and it's called Scouting Tim Tebow. And I thought, this is what we've come to. That and 637, we've arrived at the point where we need to bring you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. We'll start with news from the basketball world. Waukee native Michael Jacobson is transferring from the University of Nebraska to Iowa State. He announced April 10th that he'd be leaving the Cornhuskers. He's got 2 years of eligibility remaining. The 6'9 Jacobson started all 31 of Nebraska's games a year ago, averaged 24 minutes a game, 6 points and 6.2 rebounds. That was good enough to be the 10th leading rebounder in the Big Ten. Speaking of the conference, its baseball tournament gets underway Wednesday in Bloomington, Indiana. The Iowa Hawkeyes making the trip for the fourth consecutive season. The Hawkeyes will be the number 5 seed. On Wednesday, they'll open play against the fourth-seeded Maryland Terrapins at 7:30 Central Time. The two teams did not meet during the regular season. If the Hawkeyes win, they'll face either number 1 seed Nebraska or number 8 seed Purdue. The Cedar Rapids Colonels dropped the final game of their 4-game road trip to Wisconsin 12-7 on Sunday. The Colonels slated to begin a 4-game homestand tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium against the Clinton Lumber Kings. Right-hander Sean Poppin is the scheduled starter for Cedar Rapids. And Iowa center James Daniels has been named to the 2017 Remington Trophy watch list, along with Iowa State's Julian Good-Jones and any center who has started a game and is currently breathing, I believe. Not to take away from the accomplishments of James Daniels and Julian Good-Jones, but those watch lists, especially the Remington Trophy
the
watch
Remington,
list.
The Remington, definitely, yes.
It's like, here's 130 guys to watch.
As someone who had a family member on that list, I can confirm that. Absolutely.
That's like at the beginning of the season saying, here's 32 Major League Baseball teams to watch.
Pretty much. Here's, well, actually,
watch.
Yeah, about 30. I would say 30.
Here's
30 teams to watch in Major League Baseball.
That's right. It's 15 and 15. Where did I get 30? Which sport's 32?
In the NFL.
NFL.
No, okay, full. Well, let's just say here's 28 teams to watch because I'm sure they leave like one or two out, like maybe the center for Louisiana Monroe. They might leave out.
Everybody gets a ribbon. I was on a watch list at one time. I wonder if anybody at any point in time has ever used that as a pickup line.
Oh, absolutely.
I was on a watch list.
Or put it on a resume, something like that.
I was on a... Okay, I want you to ask your brother when he's... Because he's going to be creating a resume at some point to do... What's his major?
Same, journalism and communications.
Okay. He's going to have to turn in a resume to someone at some point. I want you to ask him if the resume will say... Remington Trophy watch list.
I will answer that for you.
2015.
As someone who will probably be giving him some pointers and he'll probably be coming to me asking me some questions, I will make sure that will not be on his resume.
But doesn't that speak to leadership?
Being on the Remington Trophy watch list? I would think being like a team captain or something would be more of a...
But if you put it on your resume,
your
you can
leadership.
Put anything you want on your resume.
Well, yes.
As long as you can sell it.
What is... I'm trying to think. 319-366-1600. What is the most obscure thing on your resume that you just keep on there that you've never been able to take off? I'm not asking you... You can answer this, Todd, but you don't have to if you don't want to. There were a couple of shows that I was on when I was at KRUI that I just got around to taking off my resume.
Well, but... So when you're a kid, when you're young, you don't have a whole lot to put on your resume. to me, it's like you're 50, 60 years old, and you're still putting on the resume that you were the president of your FFA chapter or something like that, like from high school. Probably don't need that deep of a cut. What have you been doing with your life for the last 40 years? I don't care what you did in FFA a million years ago. Now, speaking of, did you see what Harbaugh did, Jim Harbaugh did over the weekend?
I missed it. What'd he do?
Jim Harbaugh wound up, he was at a farm, and he helped deliver a calf,
what?
A baby cow. It's the latest in the Jim Harbaugh Chronicles. Yahoo had the story today. Jim Harbaugh helped deliver baby calf during farm visit. And the best part about it, he's wearing khakis.
Was he visiting a recruit by chance? Was this a recruiting visit that turned bad with the birth of a calf? That's what I want to know. Maybe it's not public knowledge. You're not exactly allowed to talk about recruiting visits.
This, I believe, stems from, remember the photo of him at the steakhouse?
Yes.
Where he had the giant glass of milk?
Yes.
Okay, he was touring the Fair Oaks Farms dairy farm. And he was there checking out some dairy cows. And while he was there, one of the cows was giving birth. And there are pictures. Of course, he tweeted them on Twitter. Thanks to Mike and Sue at Fairlife Milk for the Fair Oaks Farms tour. Great day. What a mission they are on. Plus, it's all capitalized. Helped deliver a baby calf. And there are pictures of him behind the mother. You can't really tell whether he's got his hands in there or not, but knowing Harbaugh.
Let's just hope that there's no pictures of that surfacing, please. Please, if someone has the pictures of him doing that, please keep them off of Twitter. Is that too much to ask?
If you've ever been on a farm, you know it's all hands on deck.
I get that. And I respect his energy and his willingness to do so.
Your move, PJ Fleck.
If there are pictures, keep them off of Twitter. Please, keep them to yourself.
Was the calf elite? That's what PJ Fleck would want to know. 3064 says, I'm 45 and I still have the fact that I'm an Eagle Scout on my resume.
That's a big deal, though. Right?
I was not involved in scouting, but Eagle Scout, I believe, is the highest level. The highest level. 0261 says, you have to be specific. Just saying I was on a watch list could go very bad if you were using it as a
Remington Trophy watch list.
Okay. Yeah. If you were on a watch list, like a neighborhood watch list, probably not help you get a job.
No, I don't think that would.
The Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, always there to lend and assist, just like Isaiah Thomas won't be for the Boston Celtics. 319-366-1600. They did manage to win a game, though.
They did. And more came out of... That's the troubling part to me. LeBron James has had some clunkers in the playoffs, and they pretty much had zero effect on the outcome of either A, that series, or B, the rest of the playoffs. I think a couple years, or probably 4 or 5 years back, they lost the first game of the series to the Chicago Bulls. They came back and won the next four and moved on and won a championship that year. So the hot takes that come out of it, like I said, it's nauseating sometimes.
0261 was actually going for the terrorist watch list.
Okay.
So that's my fault for not picking up on that.
There are many watch lists that you could be on.
It's when the texters are funnier than the host of the show. It's maybe time to update your own resume. 6:45. We'll step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, more of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010. 1-800-758-2010.
You know that old saying, time is money? Well, that couldn't be truer when it comes to real estate these days. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and how that affects how much you sell your home for. If you tried to sell it a while back and couldn't get your price, let Doug McAllister and Pinnacle give it another try. The time has never been better than right now to get your price. Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Time is wasting.
Imagine a place where the world slows down and you can enjoy a craft beer, fine wine, or even a coffee cocktail after work.
I could use all of the above.
You're in luck at the cool new Cafe Muse in North Liberty with a curated selection of craft beer, wine, and a charcuterie platter that's perfect for sharing.
You also mentioned coffee cocktails?
Yes, Cafe Muse is a full coffee bar.
Music to my ears.
Power up in the morning, wind down after work at Cafe Muse off I-380 in North Liberty. CafeMuseIowa.com.
Napa Know-How.
Any car brave enough to withstand a decade's worth of multi-state family voyages is worth treating to some quality parts and Napa Know-How. Coolant for the Death Valley trip, wiper blades for the Pacific Northwest, air fresheners for the Southwest chili cook-off. Yeah, with some quality parts and a little Napa Know-How, you can keep your road warrior running longer, stronger, for many more vacations to come. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
Pop quiz. What's the most important part of a ship? Don't answer. It's the crow's nest. Know why? Complete visibility. I can see what's on the horizon and my crew pulling the ship together on the deck below. That's how I run this ship, and that's why we use Grainger. Grainger helps us keep a clear eye on our inventory, saving us time, saving us money, and helping keep everything ship shape. It's always smooth sailing with Grainger. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Public Clearing Home is here at the home of Barb White, winner of our $5,000 a week forever sweepstakes. Let's go surprise her with the good news. Oh my. Oh well, I've never seen anything quite like this, folks. It appears Barb has let her lawn go for a few years, maybe. We'll just go around the side. Oh, oh, that's not gonna work.
Ooh, is that Public Clearing Home? Did I win?
Yes, ma'am, you won. We've got the check right here. Just need to get it to you.
Walk by the wind chimes next to the bug zapper.
Okay, sure. Okay,
duck your head under. Oh, I can't believe I won. This is just so exciting. Oh, dear. Are you okay?
You have a moat? You know what? We'll mail you the check. I hope you have a gigantic mailbox.
I do, in fact, right next to my gnome nativity scene. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Need landscaping? Get a loan. Go to Paco. DePaco Community Credit Union. We got you covered. With low rates and local service, getting money has never been easier. Apply now at DePaco.com.
DePaco Community Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender.
6:49, back to put the finishing touches on another edition of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM. Tommy Watkins, manager of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, set to join us on the program tomorrow. Colonels are at home tonight, taking on the Clinton Lumber Kings at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Lumber Kings, the Class A affiliate of the Seattle Mariners. It's been a while since we've touched base with Tommy. Looking forward to hearing his thoughts on the current Colonels team. They had a decent road trip to Appleton over the weekend and wound up splitting that four-game series and are atop the Midwest League's Western Division standings along with the Kane County Cougars right now. So he'll be on the program with us tomorrow. And John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. Iowa State fans, tailgate tour getting ready to make its annual stop in Cedar Rapids tomorrow at the Cedar Rapids Marriott beginning at 5:30. We'll get John's reaction to some of the Iowa State news, both football and basketball, coming up on tomorrow's program. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com joined us today, as did Iowa starting pitcher Nick Gallagher at 5 o'clock. You can check out the podcast once the show is done at KGYMRadio.com.
Now, I need to make sure that you and Tommy have cleared the air since the LaTroy Hawkins incident. All is well. with you guys? Because I know you're pretty good friends.
Yeah, I think we're good. Tommy was not happy that I said LaTroy Hawkins needed to tell him that he was way better than Tommy on the radio.
And he heard you. Because LaTroy Hawkins not only told him, but he heard
Tommy
was listening to the interview.
To the interview in his office on the radio as it was happening.
And he wasn't happy the next time that you guys ran into each other. But he's okay now?
He busted my chops about it. I think he's okay now. I would be too if my team was playing as well as the Colonels have been. So be a good opportunity, weather permitting, over the next couple days to get out to the ballpark and check them out. And we're inside 3 weeks, I should say, from the MLB draft. And the Twins have the first overall selection. There's a lot of steam behind Kyle Wright all of a sudden, the Vanderbilt ace. And I don't know, the last time that the Twins took a college pitcher with their first-round draft pick, he wound up skipping Cedar Rapids. So I read the Hunter Green Sports Illustrated story several weeks ago, and he sounds like such an intriguing kid.
Exactly.
And not necessarily a Bryce Harper once-in-a-generation talent, but intriguing enough that I would want to see him pass through Cedar Rapids. Brendan McKay, I believe, the Louisville left-hander, is the other guy that is getting kicked around as the first overall pick. He's dropped a little bit of velocity, but he's also a first baseman and has a pretty solid bat, so he could be a two-way guy. You could draft him and then figure out whether you wanted him to play the field or whether you wanted to try to develop him as a pitcher. But the Twins have an interesting opportunity in front of them 3 weeks from now to maybe alter the face of the franchise. The first place Minnesota Twins, I should say.
Let me just say this as selfishly as possible. I want to see Hunter Green in Cedar Rapids. And for the reason that you just brought up, if it's Kyle Wright, he's probably skipping Cedar Rapids. I want to see the number one overall pick, but it's obviously not up to me. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and the title is Baseball's LeBron or the New Babe. That's pretty lofty expectations for a high school kid.
Cedar Rapids has never had the number one overall pick in the draft. Play here on the way up to the majors. Joe Mauer has done it in a Colonel's uniform, but it was on a rehab. Now, they've had number one overall picks pass through as members of the visiting team before, but they've never had one actually here in Cedar Rapids suiting up. So be something to keep an eye on. And for those that follow college baseball, they know Kyle Wright's a tremendous pitcher, and Brendan McKay is a great two-way player as well. And I hate to say the Twins could really do no wrong, but you could, especially when you get to the... I was going to do this. I don't want to do this. It was so intriguing to me, and then we didn't get around to it, that I'm going to do it tomorrow on the show. The 2012 draft, the way that Baseball America had laid it out 5 years ago. And they do have Byron Buxton going to the Minnesota Twins at number two overall, so that doesn't change. But they did not have Carlos Correa going first overall to the Astros, and that changed the entire complexity of the draft. And if I say anything more about it, then your interest level in the subject is probably going to wane to the point where it's not worth bringing up tomorrow on the show. But needless to say, the Cubs, the White Sox, the Yankees, the Cardinals, because Michael Wacha gets selected by another program or another team. If Baseball America was in charge of the draft 5 years ago, a lot of your favorite franchises here in the Midwest would look very different than they do today. And I'll leave it at that. So we've got that on the back burner for tomorrow, as well as perhaps a little hockey talk if the Nashville Predators can get things done tonight. Let's finish up with a Midwest One Bank Big Board update and then get you to Minnesota Twins baseball or the NBA, depending on how you're listening to the program. Iowa State picked up the services today of 6'9" junior forward Michael Jacobson, the former Nebraska Cornhusker, announced last month that he'd be transferring. He's got 2 years of eligibility remaining. He started all 31 games for the Huskers last season, averaged 24 minutes a game, along with 6 points and 6.2 rebounds. The Iowa baseball team won two of three games against Illinois over the weekend. Jake Adams hit two home runs to give him 24 on the year. That's a new school record. Honored today as the Big Ten Player of the Week for the second week in a row, also taking home some National Player of the Week honors. The Hawkeyes are off to Bloomington, Indiana, where they'll take on number 4 seed Maryland at the Big Ten Tournament Wednesday night at 7:30. If they win, they likely face top-seeded Nebraska on Thursday. As we mentioned, the Colonels at home tonight taking on the Clinton Lumber Kings. That game got underway at 6:30. Colonels losers last night on the road, 12-7 at the hands of Wisconsin. Those two teams wound up splitting that series. And Iowa center James Daniels and Iowa State's Julian Good-Jones, the former Cedar Rapids, Washington standout, both named to the Remington Trophy watch list today. The Remington Trophy goes to the best center in Division I football. Lumber Kings have a 2-0 lead on the Colonels on a 2-run double by Joe Rizzo, no relation to Anthony Rizzo.
Tomorrow on the program, John Walters will join us at 5:05 to right before the tailgate tour for the Iowa State tailgate tour rolls through Cedar Rapids. You brought up Tommy Watkins, and also there's something else going on tomorrow. I'll let you
it's
all just think about
Coon's
that.
Coon's birthday tomorrow. Don't think for a second that I forgot it was your birthday tomorrow.
It's hard to forget with my Twitter handle.
We will have virtual cake and more.
Yes, I love virtual cake.
Alex. Twins coming your way on 107.5 FM NBA on our other frequencies. Talk to you tomorrow.
With the AutoZone Rewards Program, the parts and supplies you need come with